Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
To be here, and I'm so thankful that Ada gave me this opportunity. You know, when Ada first told me that I was doing a Zoom call, I got a little nervous. I mean, you'd think it'd be easier talking in front of just a screen, but I think it's a little bit easier to talk in front of a crowd. You see, the thing I'm terrible about with Zoom calls is I'm just terrible with social media and anything to do with calling or texting in general. I'm terrible at answering phone calls, usually because I either miss them or because I didn't see them, or oftentimes I feel like I've intentionally just ignored a call. I feel like we've all been there. We've all seen a call and we're like, oh, I'm just going to ignore that. Just going to pass that by. But besides ignoring calls or besides missing calls with people, we often do the same thing with God. So my title of our message today is Called by God. And the thing is, we are constantly being called by God. He reaches out to us more frequently and persistently than any relative, friend, or spouse ever could. Sometimes we might miss his call because we're too busy or we're too distracted by our daily lives. Other times we might ignore his call because we just feel that we aren't close enough to him, or because we close ourselves off from listening to him or responding to him. But no matter how many times we miss or ignore his call, God never stops reaching out to us, inviting us to connect with him and to fulfill the purpose he has for our lives. So in Psalm 139:7-10, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And the great thing is, God is always around us. God is constantly moving. God is constantly changing. He's constantly changing things in our lives. And it's just a matter of whether we see it or not. So God uses various channels to reach us. He uses people. He uses social media. He uses music, literature, or even unexpected encounters. Each one of us, each one of these channels is a subtle invitation to deepen our relationship with him and to recognize his hand is on our daily lives. And in my own life, God has called me since I was little. God has always been calling me. And now that I'm fully able to see the extent God has pursued me, I grew up in a non-Christian household. We went to church here or there on Sunday, or maybe we would go for Easter Sunday. But in reality, it was never a full pursuit. It was never really a lifestyle change. It was always just, oh, we'll go here one day. And that was tough. I think I often questioned really where God was in things, where I questioned the purpose of life. I questioned who I was as a human. And in 2020, when things started going to chaos, I feel like the whole world was experiencing such difficulty with COVID, with the pandemic. And that was a time where God met me where I was. And he showed me a social media post. And I felt so convicted. I felt a little disappointed in myself, in the way I was living, in the way that I was doing things. And God was still pursuing me. And that was one of his ways of calling me, was through social media. And so I began to read my Bible. I began to study his word, and I began to worship him and pray him alone in my room. But this was also very difficult because my family and my friends, I couldn't go to them about God. I couldn't talk to anyone. I didn't have a church. I didn't really have a community to talk to. And this brought me through a really lonely season of my life where I began to fall away from God, and I ran into depression, and I started having suicidal thoughts. And this is a big thing, at least in like the Western society and in the United States, is that we're dealing with a lot of people who are going through suicidal thoughts and self-harm. And that's all that I went through. And it was such a difficult time of my life. And one of my friends saw that I was struggling and he invited me to church. And so I went to church and it just so happened to be this gigantic revival meeting. And I began to see people being healed physically, mentally, emotionally. It just kept going and going. And I was just so overwhelmed, not overwhelmed, but more like shocked that I got to see all these people coming to God and crying and giving their life to God. And so that night I ended up giving my life to God and I completely just broke down crying. And I never experienced such a feeling of love, a feeling of peace and joy and happiness in my entire life. And I went home and I told my family, and the next day my twin sister came and she gave her life to God, and my friends came and they gave their life to God. And it was just such a beautiful revival within my family, within my friends. And I just remember feeling so excited to see where God was taking me. And the most beautiful thing is, like, God is still calling me to stay close to Him in hardship, calling me to walk in this purpose that He is giving me. And I see it now that God is calling me to women's ministry. I'm going to become a pastor for women's ministry, and I'm studying for that. And it is so amazing to see how God has been using me to move people, how God has been using other people to move others. And I think it's just such a beautiful revival. Now, in life, we have a choice. We have two choices, actually. There's two phone calls that we get to decide to answer. The phone call we have always answered, or often answered, is the call that I call the spam call. This call is constantly showing us temporal pleasures and calling it true happiness. It says, hey, go to this sin, go back to lying, go back to cheating, go back to drugs or addiction or anything that you can get a hold of that will bring you some type of temporal happiness. Go party and go get drunk, live in the moment type of thing, you know? And this call, it entices us with immediate gratification, but it ultimately leads to emptiness and regret and self-hatred. And I think it completely shuts down the person. The second call, however, is the call from God. So this call may not always seem as loud or immediately appealing, but it offers something much more deeper and much more lasting. So God calls us and invites us to live in relationship with Him. And that's the whole purpose behind the call, is to live with purpose and to live with love and to see God in a, like, completely new way, as a friend, as a father, as a therapist. God can be all those things to you. And we often think that's such a far reach, but in reality, God is able to heal. God is able to deliver. And it's just a matter of whether we're going to answer that call. And so God's call leads us to a genuine happiness and eternal significance, really. So my question for you is, which one will you call? Which one will you answer? Sorry. Will you answer the spam call or the scam call, or will you answer God's calling for your life? And so to further understand what God's calling really looks like, I was going to look at the story of Saul and how he came to Christ. So in Acts chapter 9, now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and relentless in search for believers, went to the high priest, and he asked for letters of authority from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any men or women there belonged to the way, believers following of Jesus the Messiah, men and women alike, he could arrest them and bring them bound with chains to Jerusalem. So a little backstory about Saul is he was a Pharisee, meaning he was kind of like a priest who knew all the rules, he knew all the laws, and therefore he thought he was very righteous, and therefore he thought he was a good person. And so, and he truly believed that was the way to get to heaven, was being a good person, following God. And so as he traveled, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. displaying the glory and majesty of Christ. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice from heaven saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting and oppressing me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? And he answered, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. So the thing is, let's see, here's the next one. So at the end of this, we see a direct call. We see him saying, hey, Saul, answer it and follow me, you know, follow where I'm leading you. So our greatest purpose in life is to have a relationship with Jesus, with the living God. And from the very beginning of mankind, we see in Genesis from with Adam and Eve, how they are walking in fellowship with the Lord, but they have rebelled against God and they ate the fruit. And this created a chasm of separation between the relationship of God and man. John 14, 6 says, Jesus declares, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the bridge that restores our broken relationship and with God. And through his life, death, resurrection, he opened the way for us to come back into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. So let's continue to read how Saul continued. In chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, 7, the men who were traveling with him were terrified when they saw Jesus and stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground and threw his eyes, and though his eyes were open, he could not see anything. So they led him to the land and brought him into Damascus. And he was unable to see for 3 days, and he neither ate nor drank. So a lie that we often believe is, I'm a good person, therefore I'm going to heaven. As we see in Saul, Saul was a dedicated Pharisee, right? He believed in the law. He believed in fulfilling the law. He believed in working to get to heaven. So however, on the road to Damascus, he saw Jesus, and that finally showed him that that was not enough. That was not ever going to get him salvation. So Saul physically was blind, but this also represents a spiritual blindness within him. So he was able to see that, oh, this is the law. This is the works that we do for God. But now that he is spiritually also blind, he cannot see that that is not just the way. That is not the way to heaven. And so Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For this is a good example that I try to tell people when they're trying to understand the good works type of situation and why that is a lie. So like, let's say if you were on trial for a crime you committed and the judge sentenced you to 3 years in prison, right? You might argue that you've done many good deeds, you've helped the poor, you've helped many people. However, in a just court of law, the judge would acknowledge your good deeds, but also emphasize they do not negate the crime you committed. The courtroom is focused on addressing the crime, and it would not be just for the judge to let a crime, it would not be just for a judge to let a crime go free without any sort of punishment or any sort of imprisonment just because they performed good deeds, right? So as we continue, now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he answered, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight and ask at the house of Judas for a man named Tarsus, named Saul, for he is praying there. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Come in and place your hands on him so that he may regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, especially how much suffering and evil he has brought on your saints, God's people at Jerusalem. And here in Damascus, he has authority from the high priest to put in chains all who call on your name, confessing you as Savior. So on the other extreme, we see another lie saying, my sin is just too great to be forgiven. And this is something that I definitely dealt with during my dark seasons of self-harm and suicidal thoughts. I was just dealing with, oh, my situation is too hard for God to handle. But we're able to see the Apostle Paul, who once, you know, was persecuted, who was persecuting and killing Christians, but God still gave him the experience of forgiveness and transformation. And we too can receive that just same forgiveness and that new life. So if he goes around killing Christians, I'm totally able to be forgiven of any sin that I've ever committed. So in this court scenario that we were talking about just a little bit ago, Jesus steps in and takes the punishment for our crime. His sacrifice on the cross pays the penalty for our sins, allowing justice to be served while also offering mercy and forgiveness. So, and through this act of grace, we undergo a great and profound transformation. See, this is the good news. God sent his one and only son to come down, you know, as a man, to be the bridge that we may follow that calling and have relationship with God. So through Jesus' life, we see him as an example of how we should live and how we should love. So through his death, the sin that was once causing us separation from God was taken upon the cross and forgiven by the blood of Jesus. So Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice simply out of love for me and for you. So in fact, if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus would have done it again. He would have died on the cross just so that you may experience eternal life, so that you may experience spiritual life, that you may experience him and his love. As we see Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let's continue on to Saul's story. But the Lord said to him, Ananias, go, for this man is a deliberately chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will make clear to him how much he will suffer and endure for my name's sake. The thing is, there's so much more to our calling as well. It's not, of course, having relationship with Jesus is the first part of that calling, but also God calls us in unique and significant plans for us. He has called Saul his instrument to bear his name before various people, such as the Gentiles who weren't Jewish, weren't Christian, you know, and kings and sons of Israel, poor people. It was the whole bunch, you know. God has a specific purpose for each of us, and God's plans are intentional, and his plans are designed to bring glory to him and bless others. So as we walk with God and pursue his purposes, we may encounter opposition, difficulty, and we have to probably sacrifice a lot more than we want to. Just as God tells Ananias that Saul will face suffering and endure hardships for the sake of his name, for Jesus' name. However, these challenges are not without purpose. They're here to refine us, bring us character, and strengthen us in our faith. It's also important to remember that we are not alone in our trials. God promises us that he'll be with us every step of the way. So ultimately, the hardships that we face in our walk with God are temporary and are dull in comparison to the eternal glory that awaits for us, really. And so in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. So now we're finally seeing how Paul is going to actually almost live through this. So Ananias left and entered the house, and he laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came to Damascus, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to proclaim Christ to be both Jews and Gentiles. Immediately, something like scales fell off from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized, and he took some food and he was strengthened. So This is Paul stepping into a new direction. So just as Saul's physical sight was restored, our spiritual eyes are also open to Jesus and are recognizing for the need of a Lord and Savior. So the removal of spiritual scales infiltrates us and transforms us within. So Saul's immediate response to the baptism, symbolizing his identification with Christ's death and resurrection, similarly, we experience newness of life in Christ, leaving behind the old ways and embracing a new life of obedience and service to God. We read in 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We get to walk in just complete freedom now that we placing when we place the Lord, when we place Jesus as our Lord and Savior. As we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So today, I want to urge you to consider these two calls in your life. Will you continue to follow the empty promises is of a spam call or of this scam call, or will you enter into God's call, embracing true joy and eternal significance, or enter into death and enter into sin again? So this choice really is yours, and it will define the path and the lifestyle that you choose to take. So God is calling you right now, and my question is, will you answer? So, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have all left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all, right? So no matter how far we go, no matter how far we run away from, God is always calling us back to him. And Romans 6:23 states, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This verse captures the essence of our need for Jesus as the bridge to God. And so I'm going to show you a small little diagram of the bridge. So as we see here, there is two vast chasms separating the two sides. So on one side, we see humanity burdened by the wages of sin and its consequences, death, and that is separating us from the other side. And this separation is the result of our sins, which creates that barrier. We cannot cross on our own, no matter the good deeds, no matter the efforts or personal striving that we will try to do to get to that side. The wages of sin is death. On the other side of the chasm, we see God representing eternal life. We see God representing love and holiness. And this is our desire to be in fellowship with him. But because of this chasm, our sin separates us and from even just reaching him, from truly walking in that. So this is where the gift comes in. This is where Jesus comes in. Jesus, through his sacrificial death on the cross, becomes a bridge that spans this chasm. By taking upon himself the penalty of our sins, he pays the wages of sin and death on our behalf. His resurrection then conquers death, offering us a gift of eternal life. So in essence, Jesus is the only way to the Father, as stated in John 14:6, as I said before, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Through him, through Jesus, the seemingly impossible gap caused by the sin, caused by our rebellion against God, is granted us access to the fullness of God when we are able to cross that bridge. So my question for you is, or have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if not, let's talk about where you are on this bridge. Are you on this side, I hope you guys can see this pointer. Are you guys on this side? Or are you guys on that bridge? Are we walking across it? Because really, it's a position of the heart. So when we accept Jesus into our life and our heart, it's saying, God, I want you to transform my heart. I want you to completely change me, and so that I may be able to experience the gift of your love, the gift of this new life, the gift of eternal life, really, that I may be able to experience heaven, that I may be able to experience you by stating that stating that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life. So I just want in the comments, I just want to talk about, if you have not experienced God in your life, if you've not let him in fully, I just want to go over the sinner's prayer. Let's see. All right. Let me see. Oh my goodness. I am glitching. There we go. Can everyone still see it? Ada, can you still see it?
No, I think you have to reshare.
What's up?
I think you have to reshare your screen.
All right, no worries. All right. So whatever place you're in right now, I just want you to bow your head and just kind of repeat after me. Father God, I know that I am a sinner. So then that's when you would say it. And that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son, Jesus, died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you. I want to make you Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you. Everything I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.